Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Mandolin players these days are making music as varied as Bach to bluegrass.
And a cadre of Milwaukee mandolin players, the New Vintage Frets and Friends, are teaming together to play songs from a more uncommonly drawn from era and style. Specifically, mandolin compositions with Wisconsin ties from the late 19th century and early 20th centuries.
And to play the compositions, they're using antique mandolins, instruments built by the Boston-based Vega Company before 1925. Music historian Paul Rupa speaks with Lake Effect's Mayan Silver about the Wisconsin Vega project, starting with how the mandolin came to Wisconsin.
In 1880, there was a band in New York City called the Spanish Students, and it was formed by a fellow named Carlos Curti, and he brought a bunch of his Italian musician friends together, and one of them was a fellow named Salvador Facatar. After the Spanish Students broke up, Facatar moved to Chicago to be a mandolin soloist, and he stayed there and married, and at some point, unfortunately, in the 1880s, his wife passed away. And in 1889, Facatar moved to Milwaukee following a concert that he performed here. Apparently, he liked the place. So he started a studio where he taught students mandolin and guitar and formed a mandolin orchestra, the Facatar Mandolin Club. And he had a concert in 1890, a recital for his group. And that was the first mandolin orchestra concert in Milwaukee. And things after that, because of a mandolin craze that was going across the United States, after that, there were many mandolin teachers and a growing number of mandolin students. And it just went on from there. Facatar also was a composer, and he had a long life of composing, even though he left Milwaukee in 1897 after he married a lumber baron heiress named Fanny Bagnell.
Okay, so the mandolin scene, shall we say, in Milwaukee, was it mostly Facatar or were there others?
Oh, there was plenty. There was plenty. I did a master's thesis. I finished a master's thesis back in 88, and the subject of the master's thesis was mandolin orchestras in the United States, and specifically mandolin orchestras in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And at that point, I had found over 24 mandolin orchestras in the city of Milwaukee. And the Milwaukee Mandolin Orchestra is still existing in Milwaukee, and that group started in 1900. It's the oldest mandolin orchestra in the world, and my personal opinion is one of the best mandolin orchestras in the country today.
So the reason we're here today is to talk about the music of the New Vintage Frets and Friends and the particular music that they're pulling out of the late 1800s, early 1900s. How did you decide to have them play this music, or how did that come about that they'd be playing this music?
Well, you pretty much put your finger on the whole project, except for one part of it, which is that we wanted to have composers, arrangers, and publishers from Milwaukee and from Wisconsin represented on the CD. So the music that I selected for this project is music from between 1892 and 1919. That's the publication dates. And the music has historic links to Wisconsin and Wisconsin mandolin orchestras. So that's why it's the Wisconsin Vega Project.
How did you decide to go back in time for those compositions? I mean, what was the purpose of that?
Well, I played with the mandolin orchestra for about 31 years, and I was the director of the group for 15 years. In that same period of time, I'd already started researching the history of mandolin orchestras, and with the Milwaukee Mandolin Orchestra starting in 1900, they have one of the biggest mandolin music libraries in the world, for American music. And I just found it so fascinating and fell in love with so much of the music that I developed a pretty good understanding of the repertoire and was able to assemble pieces that hadn't been recorded by the Milwaukee Mandolin Orchestra yet that I thought deserved to be recorded, and music that I loved, and music that other people, when they hear it, they're just surprised and delighted by what they hear.
What makes a mandolin piece particularly American style? How did they draw upon the styles that came previous to it and change it?
in my research, I discovered that the mandolin quartet was actually invented in the United States. And the mandolin quartet is made up of, well, let me take one step back. A mandolin is tuned like a violin, except that it has doubled strings and it has frets. And you play it like a guitar, but it's, again, it's still tuned like a violin. So any violin music can be played on mandolin without really changing the fingerings all that much. So in 1896, a company in Saginaw, Michigan, called the Waldo Company, came up with this idea of, hey, if we've got mandolins that play like violins, why don't we invent something like a mando viola and a mando cello? And then we'll have a mandolin quartet. They did that. Now, they called it a tenor mandola and a mando cello, but still, it's like a mando viola because of the tuning. So in 1896 and after that, a couple more companies came up with this quartet. And then in around 1902, the Gibson Company came up with their mandolin quartet. In 1911, the Gibson Company invented an instrument called a mando bass, and they already had guitars. So the mandolin orchestra in the United States took shape. You had a first and second mandolin section. You had a mandola section for like a mando viola, mandocello section, guitars, and mando bass. The guitar and mando bass basically was like the left and right hand of a piano. So we had this full ensemble. And that's where the mandolin, the American sound came from that. The American sound developed because there were composers that wanted to put together this music in a way that was really interesting. And that's what fascinates me, is that the arrangements are so democratic, where you get every once in a while the seconds will have a big part, or the mandolas will have a big part, or the mandocellos. Even the guitars occasionally will get a big part. And that's what made me so interested in the music, is just, and made it American music, is that these arrangements are different than what you get out of European arrangements.
And yet some of the pieces still sort of have a European flavor or sound. Is that, would you agree with that?
Well, we can take European music. Yeah. For example, we have this one piece called Gemito Appassionato, which was written by an Italian composer in Italy. He was one of the more prominent composers for mandolin orchestras, and he directed one of the biggest and best-known mandolin orchestras at that time in Italy. And that time would have been around 1885 through the early 1900s.
And who's playing on that one?
Gemito Appassionato is just the mandolin sextet that I put together with first and second mandolin, mandola, mandocello, guitar, and mando bass. And actually, on our project, there's only a couple of tunes that are limited to that musical setting.
What was a mandolin concert like in the era that these songs were being played?
That's another one of the themes that we did for the Wisconsin Vega project, was that we wanted to have something that simulated a regular mandolin orchestra concert. In the early 1900s, when there was a mandolin orchestra concert, you wouldn't have just mandolin orchestra playing straight through. You'd have like a banjo player, maybe a guitar solo or a guitar duet, or a mandolin and piano duo piece. And then you'd have the mandolin orchestra come in. You might have a juggler. You might have a comedian, or what they called an elocutionist, who would read some sort of an interesting passage to amuse the audiences. And this was basically a nod to the vaudeville era, which was very popular. So we think of vaudeville now as like a variety show.
So I wanted to ask you about a piece with kind of a nice sense of humor, and it also has some piano accompaniment. It's called Tutte Tutte. Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about that piece?
Well, Tutte Tutte, it features our lead mandolin player, our first mandolinist, Mikhail Litvin, and he's playing a Vega bowl-back mandolin that was a dedication model dedicated to George Lansing, one of the big names in mandolin orchestra era. The piece itself was written in Milwaukee in 1892 by Salvatore Fakatar, and it is basically popular music, and it's just a mandolin and Olga on piano. The piece is just this charming little sort of like somewhere between classical and fluff. It's something that when people hear it, they just love it. And there's so many nice little techniques that Misha's playing. It just sort of surprises people when they hear it, how easy it is to listen to. Current it sounds. You don't think it's, oh, that's from 1892. It's really old-fashioned. But our Milwaukee ancestors listened to Salvatore Fakatar playing this in the 1890s, and it was self-published by Fakatar, who had his studio on Wisconsin Avenue. And it was called Grand Avenue at that time, and his studio was right above the Joseph Flanner Music Store. And we still have, I believe, Flannery and Halfsus is still around. But when I was a kid, they sure were.
Bringing this music to life, do you think it goes beyond that in terms of also shaping the way that future mandolin music is produced?
Well, mandolins that were made for mandolin orchestras by the Gibson Company, by Vega, by Lyon and Healy, and numerous other mandolin builders during the Industrial Revolution— are the mandolins that the bluegrass and jazz guys are playing today. So, yes, of course this music had an influence, but the real problem is that the bluegrassers and the jazz guys don't really know about this music. It sort of lost favor after World War I because the instruments were too quiet to fit into jazz bands, so the mandolin orchestra era just sort of petered out after about 1930, and we're just lucky that Wisconsin has a tradition of really stubborn people that don't get the message and just kept the mandolin orchestra going. So when I found out in 1981 that there was a mandolin orchestra in Milwaukee, I jumped right all over it. I just thought, this is the coolest thing. So the mandolin music from the 1890s has influenced players today, and I think it could be a lot more of an influence if more people would listen to my CD.
All right. Well, Paul Rupa, thank you so much for coming and speaking about this.
My pleasure.
Music historian and mandolin player Paul Rupa spoke with Lake Effect's Mayan Silver about the Wisconsin Vega Project. Their CD release concert is coming up at Anodyne on Sunday, December 2nd.